We've been doing Bell now for several years, and every year we get a report, and I was told this year it doesn't have to be a long report. It's not going to be a long report, but I still think we need to hear about how successful this program continues to be. It gets a little more successful every year, and I think the teachers take it for granted. They take it for granted because they're good people, and they're talking to each other right now, teaching each other. So can I go forward? Let me give you for whatever they care to say.
Bells are ringing again, but I'll be darned if they're ringing for me.
He almost put Katie. All right, so I'm going to give you Kate Mendez and
Rashida.
Okay, I'm back to my old schedule. For whatever they care to say about Bell for the next 20 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Okay, so, hi. So we're going to talk about Bell Academy. I'm going to give you some logistics, and I'm going to have Kate talk about what happened upstate, and then I will talk about what happened downstate, because they're two diverse academies, because New York is a very diverse state, and we did different things that were culturally and regionally different, which is very interesting. So, this year, our Bell Academy ran downstate in Harlem from July 31st until August 11th. And upstate, it ran in Syracuse, actually Baldwinsville, which is right outside of Syracuse. From, I know you can clap it up, from, yeah, great people up there. From August 7th through August 18th, this year we had 12 children registered, which is great because 75% of our students were new bell ringers, which was great. So we did a lot of recruitment. And Kate, you can start talking.
Oh boy.
I know, right?
They get to hear me. They get to hear me talk again. All right. Right. Okay. So as Rashida said, the Upstate Bell program took place in Baldwinsville, and when you hear Baldwinsville, think cows. It's very rural, not as rural as it gets in upstate New York, but rural enough. The site that we used is the same site that we've used since the Bell program began a couple of years ago. It's the May Reynolds Elementary School, and one of the things that keeps us coming back to that site is their lovely outdoor playscape. We'll get back to that in a minute. So, what is Bell? Now, unfortunately, this year I don't have candy. I tried to get some candy, but I don't have candy to bribe you all with. I know, but because we're having the presentation right after lunch, I figure like you guys don't have an excuse to sneak out to the bathroom this year, so maybe bribery is not necessary. So what is Bell? Bell? Sorry?
Someone said, I don't know.
Okay. Bell is a program that is, it originated in Baltimore at the National Center. It is a program that is held in over 30 states, and is sponsored and organized by the NFB. And it stands for, the Bell is an acronym, and it stands for Braille Enrichment through Literacy and Learning. Now, because we're the NFB and we know love what we love and we know what we know, we go straight for the Braille piece, okay? But I'm actually going to put that on hold for a second and come back to it. A large part of what we do in the Bell program, in addition to Braille literacy, is the enrichment piece. What does that mean? That means we teach kids daily living skills, like how to, and these are children ages 4 through 12, so you know, we're not going to have America's Next Top Chef necessarily yet, but we're teaching them how to make their own lunches, how to clean up after themselves after making their own lunches, which is an interesting task. We're teaching them how to organize their own belongings, which is a daily living task that most of us don't even think about. But many of these children have never been responsible for their own stuff. Mommy, daddy, an aide, somebody packs their bag for them, unpacks their bag for them, puts the books away, takes everything out. And for the purposes of the Bell program, one of the most important things that we do above and beyond the Braille is teach these children to be responsible and independent to the extent that they are able due to their other disabilities and their ages. Now, upstate this year, we had 6 kids, and it was really an interesting bunch. All but 2 of our kids had multiple disabilities. We had children with autism, children who were had in utero stroke events and had, sorry, Carl's giving me TBI over here. okay, sorry. It had various, in utero medical things happen to them. We had a child with CP, which is cerebral palsy. So all kinds of stuff, kids with braces, kids in wheelchairs, and then all of them were blind. So that was the common element. So to the extent that they were able, our goal was to help them be as independent as possible with those daily skills. That includes age-appropriate skills like how to play. And not just how to play, but also how to engage in physical play. So we're not just sitting at a table and mashing on Play-Doh. We're not just sitting rocking back and forth and shaking our arms. We're not just, you're laughing, but we had how many times a day do we have to tell people not to do that? But the kind of physical, we played Braille Twister. Got the kids up, got the kids moving. One of the perennial favorites is a game called Stay Out of My Bubble, where the kids wear a hula hoop around their waist on string, like suspenders, and they go around the room using their canes, and they have to stay out of each other's bubble. And there's always that one really slick kid that figures out that if he doesn't make any noise, no one comes near him, and everybody stays out of his bubble. It's great. So we used learning shades for most of the mobility. All the kids who could use them had canes. We had one kid who was in a wheelchair who had enough to do pushing his own wheelchair. That was, so he was using other alternative techniques to navigate. But we would take them out to the playground once a day, and even just directing them to how to play without an adult. They were like, can I play with you? I'm like, no. They're like, what do you mean I can't play with you? I'm like, there's 6 other kids here. Go play with one of them. and really, because so many of these kids spend so much time with adults and being overseen by adults, or they're being pulled out for their various additional services during school time when their peers are playing during PE or during recess, and so they're missing these opportunities. So this was a huge part of the enrichment piece of Bell, is getting these kids to do age-appropriate, independent play. So that's the enrichment piece. We talked a little bit about the canes. Cane travel is another piece that isn't directly related to Braille, but it is related to independent blindness skills. We took the kids, this being upstate and, cow country, we took the kids, we did 2 different field trips. One of them was, and I'm from Syracuse, by the way, I'm not just spilling haterade, like I love cows. So we took the kids berry picking. Now, we thought, the staff, that this was going to be a great idea. Oh, we're going to take them out, and they're going to reach, they're going to have to touch, they're going to reach in the bushes, and they're going to have to find the soft, ripe berries and pull them off, and this is going to be great. Well, except we missed the blueberry season by a week or two, and it was a little too early for blackberries. So all the blackberries were super duper hard. So there was no tact way of differentiating the good ones from the not good ones. And the guy running the farm is like, well, they can pick the black ones. I'm like, and they're blind. So you live and you learn. Don't go blackberry picking. No, but we made it work. We taught the kids, you know, feel around for the squishy ones. If you find a squishy one, it's probably good. Try not to take the little teeny tiny ones, because those ones are probably sour. And we have a couple of parents whose kids attended the program in the room. Weren't they good blackberries? All right. There you go. So we had to improvise on the spot when we made it work. The other field trip that we went on, again, to this enrichment piece, was we took the kids bowling. And I know all you downstate people are like, seriously, bowling? Isn't that like what old men do? I know, she's rolling her eyes over here. but it was a thing that all of the kids could do. Remember, we had kids who had some additional physical disabilities. And they had a thing that I had never seen before. It's a chute. I don't know what the best way to describe it is. It's a ramp. I guess it's a ramp. By ramp, you think of like a ramp. This thing was more like a chute. You drop the bowling ball in the top, and it fires out the bottom and goes down the lane and knocks over the pins. It was actually kind of cool. and so our kids who had motor skills challenges, of whom there were three, were also able to bowl. And the kids who didn't have motor skills challenges also bowled and had a great time. And one little lady had never been bowling before. And do you guys know what a granny bowl is? Okay, where you squat down like a frog and you put the bowling ball between your feet and you push it. where I grew up, that's what we called granny bowling. I don't know if that's like a PC term. probably not. But anyway, that's what she was doing, because no one had showed her how to arc her swing, her arm, so to release the bowling ball. So we got to teach her how to actually swing her arm and make that physical motion to release the bowling ball, and she was able to bowl independently, which was awesome. I'm going to let Rashida talk more about the Braille piece. What's up, Fred? Okay. Okay. 10 minutes. So we're just about halfway through. Okay. So I'm going to let Rashida talk more about the Braille piece. Trust me, upstate, we did plenty of Braille too, but I feel like this is a fun way to sort of differentiate the programs a little bit. Just, you know, I'll take the E and you got the B. Yeah. there was one other thing that I wanted to add. Just really quickly, a thanks to our tremendous volunteers. Dan the Man Jardine, are you in the room? Dan Jardine drove, what was it, Dan? Something like 300 miles a day from Buffalo through Rochester to pick up our kids from Rochester to Baldwinsville, and then, God bless him, worked the entire day through the program and then drove everybody home again in the evening and then went to work. Our thanks to Mr. Luis, who was my volunteer the second week. One of our regular volunteers, Miss Mary Pomeroy, who was a TVI in the Syracuse area. She had a death in the family and couldn't attend the second week of the program. Left me one hand short. So Luis Mendez, my dad, otherwise known to the kids as Mr. Luis, pinch hit for us the second week, and was there the morning that we got to the school, and they said, oh yeah, all the water's turned off, and had to run around and negotiate with the custodians to get them to turn the water back on, because I don't know if you've ever been locked in a building with no water with a bunch of little kids, but sooner or later somebody's got to go, and then it's a whole big thing. So thank you to Mr. Luis, thank you to Dan, thanks to Mary, who made it for most of the program. And thank you to the Syracuse chapter. They generously contributed a couple of $100 toward the program. Rashida, I don't know how much time you have left to talk about fundraising. Okay, but that's gonna, we don't want to keep coming back to the same well year after year after year and asking you guys to please, dip into your pockets and dip into your wallets. We know that we often ask, but to the extent that your chapters are able, please do contribute to the Bell program, and please help us when we come to you in the next few weeks and months and say we need to do fundraisers outside in the community to help fund these programs. Please have our backs, because these programs do a lot of good, They have a tremendous impact on the kids who participate in them. And here with the B,
yes,
is Rashida.
Okay, everyone. All right, let me talk first because my time is short. I do, and piggybacking on what Kay said, we love these children. The staff that we have, very, very dedicated. We had a very dedicated, loyal, loving staff. And downstate, Valeria Jacobs was our lead teacher. She had just the right amount of energy to have these kids interested and keep this program up and running. Nihal Erkin was a dedicated volunteer. Carl Jacobs, that's the name, right? Okay. Carl Jacobson came in. Mindy came in. Yes. Bell downstate. Okay, now you guys heard the rural part of New York State. Now this is the urban. I tell everyone, before you come into Bell Academy of New York City, strap up your boots, because this one right here is live. The children, they didn't have any orthopedic issues, but we had a lot of behavioral issues. And if anyone is into special education and deal with the ED, BD population, you know what we were dealing with. We were dealing with children that were on the spectrum. We were dealing with ODD, ADHD, Asperger's syndrome, coupled with blindness. Some of the children would come to the academy medicated. And we said, oh, he's so calm. Yeah, because he's doped up before he get here. This is what the parents would say. And everyone in the room was blind or low vision, which compounded a lot of the behavioral issues. So we just got to applaud ourselves for that. And what we did do Braille. And the children were on different learning levels. We had a student who was well into contracted Braille, and he's writing and just speed reading, to a child, he was never introduced to Braille a day in his life. This kid came in knowing zero and came out, I think he got up to M-N-O, more than halfway through the alphabet. Give me a second. Because I was the coordinator. Valeria was the one who was working directly with the children every day. Nihal worked every day with the children. What we did do Braille, but we took the children out. We didn't have Dan up there to drive us, so we had to use the New York City public transportation with the children. So we would take the subway. Every trip that we went on, we took the subway. Except for our trip to Playland Park, we took the children to an amusement park. Most of the children had never been on a ride a day in their lives. And it really blew the staff of Playland Park away to see these blind children jumping in and out of roller coasters by themselves. And they say, are they okay? I mean, they're in the bumper car. There's a bumper car. They're going to bump into anything anyway. So don't worry about it. They're good. What we did, we did a lot about self-advocacy, because I'm really strong about this as a parent and as an educator and a special ed teacher. Your child is not going to be 4, 5, and 6 years old forever. And they're going to grow up and go into the real world and hopefully work in a competitive situation with non-disabled people. And they have to learn how to speak up for themselves and act to what they want. So every day we'd have philosophy discussions on advocacy. We'd have discussions on, how do I order a Big Mac without grandma or mommy here? If I go to the amusement park, how do I get in the drive? Okay. We also did real life situations. We had the children buy their own lunch. They went into a crowded pizza parlor during lunchtime in New York City. If anyone knows about that, that can be a murder. But I gave them more money, and they ordered their food. And anyone who knows me know I still keep in touch with the parents of Bell Academy, because without these parents, we have no academy. And like I said, this is not my academy. This belongs to everyone. And I still keep in touch with the parents. And the parents have told me to this day, they already called me, when is the next one? Well, give me a second, you know. I'm just coming down from your children. So they call me. They want to know when the next Bell Academy is. And they'll say, one of our children, who was 10 years old, never opened his own juice, never opened a bag of chips. His mom called me. She says, I want to tell you something. And I'm going to say the name Christopher. If anyone knows Christopher in this room, they know. Mindy said, mm-hmm. Christopher is a, like I said, he's a humdinger. But mom called me and said, you know, I was trying to zip in Christopher's coat. And he snatched my hand away and said, Mommy, I don't need you to do this. I know how to tie my shoe. I know how to zip in my coat. I learned this in Bell Academy. And so this is how important that program is. You know, I'm a little emotional because I do love the children and I love the staff of Bell Academy. Valeria, you wanted to say something because we have one more minute.
Here, I'll end with a funny attitude.
Okay.
So, Rashida and Kate touched upon all the wonderful parts of our program. We really try to hone in on the fact that Braille is something that will help our children become competitive members of society, but it's also used functionally, right? So when we went into the pizza parlor, same student decided that he was going to order 5 slices of pizza because he had $5. Then when we taught him how to use the Braille labeler to label his bill, now he knows. You probably didn't need to do that just because he had that cue to remind him. This number doesn't seem to match up. Also, my personal favorite anecdote when we were at the amusement park, students need to be exposed to social cues, what they should say and what they shouldn't say, regardless of whether or not they are blind. The same student, we were standing online because that's what we do when we're in an amusement park. We wait our turn to get into the park, goes at the top of his lungs, "Excuse me, open the gate, we're blind." And he starts walking to the front of the line. So then we grabbed him and said, actually, and we went right back to the back of the line. And now he knows not to do that again because we went on a line the day after. So these cues, got to stop it while you can.
I want to say one last thing. We have to write a report for Bell Academy. And I wrote a report. I wrote an anecdote about what happened, and I compared the two academies. And I sent the pictures to Baltimore and the videos. And the person who was heading up the program at the time, she called me back and she said, the only words that I could say, Rashida, is amazing. And that just speaks for itself right there. That's my last word on Bell Academy. Any questions?
We've got time for one or two at the most questions. Mike, go ahead.
One or two questions. Okay, a couple of things. I'd like to hear a couple of words from each of the parents who had kids at the Bell Academy.
If they can do it with words like amazing, that would be great.
Right.
Because otherwise we're going to be here till 6 o'clock.
And the other thing, while we're getting ready for that, what would be the possibility of having a one-day Parents of Blind Children seminar in conjunction with Braille for the parents?
Yes.
We could hook something up with Bell, just have people come in and talk to isolate the parents off of the kids that day.
So,
sure.
Okay. And just very quickly, before Heather jumps in with her experience, we did something similar downstate last year where there was a parent component built into the program. We did have a one-day event where the parents came in to do Braille with the students. We'd like to piggyback on last year's idea because we saw that, and the kids kept Braille journals as well to continue the work at home. So we'd like to continue that going forward.
So one of the things I did, I made sure the parents stayed the heck out of the room because especially if you're gonna have blind teachers like Kate and Rashida and Valeria in there, the parents are gonna undermine or at least have the potential to undermine your authority. So I think conducting it not with the children. Send home things they can do, projects with their parents, like plants were sent home with our kids. But I don't think having in the room is necessarily the best idea. If they're learning to trust Miss Kate or Miss Valeria, and then all of a sudden they see mommy coming in being condescending, even if it's not intentional, that can be damaging. What I did with the parents, I started and I took toys, and I showed them some adaptive toys and some non-adaptive toys and helped them understand why just because something's designed for blind kids, it may not be good. And being an informed consumer of services and toys and equipment, We talked about expectations. I showed them some demos of some of my kids doing crazy, scary stuff like climbing tall things. They seemed very receptive. I think having more than just me, having more than one person, having demos with a lot of equipment and opportunities would be great. And they helped. One thing I did do to get them involved, I said, hey guys, Kate gave us some instructions, let's help. And we got some materials prepped. This was great. It was a sorting kit with 9 or 10 tiny examples of things beginning with that letter. So the tub with A had a little plastic ant, a little plastic alligator. And I was helping right along with them. And they were seeing me using my deductive reasoning and figuring this out with them. And I think that had a bigger impact than anything else I said. I'm going to say something as a parent, and I'm going to hand it to Candace, who's going to say something as a parent, and then Carl's going to tell us to hurry up. My son came home, and he said, I hate school, but I like Miss Kate. That wasn't so bad. I like that. And the first day he came home, he said, Mommy, why can't these kids do anything? I said, because they haven't been exposed to stuff. You be nice to them and help them. Don't you dare be condescending. And by the end, he came back. He said, well, I do a lot of stuff they don't, but actually I learned this from this kid and this from that kid. And I said, exactly, perspective, there we go. And here's Candace.
So my daughter is a little bit younger than Heather's son, and they get along like oil and water. So we got a lot of interesting comments on that that we dealt with. But my daughter has been fighting Braille, and she fought it a little bit while she was there. Her main thing was looking around her sleep shades or moving her sleep shades off her face. That was a little frustrating, but at the same time, it was building for her that accountability and the fact that just because we can't see you doesn't mean we don't know what you're doing. And she should know that from at home. But my daughter has started out as a sneaky child. I remember being at house church and having her crawling away from me, staying about 2 feet away. And every time I'd reach for her, she'd crawl in the other direction silently. And then when I would reach, she would giggle. So I'm definitely going to say, though, that, you know, all these memories for my daughter have been good. All of that building skills, she loved it. And now she came up to Miss Kate a couple times, including when she was having her insulation cake. She is looking forward to going back and learning more. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity for her.
I think this is a program we should continue, don't you? Yeah. We hit another winner. Being told that January 4th begins registration. January 4th. Anybody know why January 4th? Louis Braille's birthday. Yeah, he's an old dude.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you again. Thank you, folks.